Glory to God. I said, He's good. God is good. I'm reminded was describing John the Baptist. It said, what'd you come out here to see? You know, what did you come out here to see? A reed shaking in the wind. And it's kind of like, I think we ought to have an expectation. We come to meet with God. What did we come out here for? God, because I want you. I want more of you. I need more of you. I just believing for more of you. Hallelujah. He's so good. I said, God is so good. He's for us. Amen. God is for us. Hallelujah. What's up? I think it's on. It's on, isn't it, Josh? Just turn it up just a little bit. Hallelujah. Can you hear me now? He's so good to us. He's so good for us. Say this with me. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. God is good to me all the time. And all the time, God is good to me. Come on. Is that true? Is that true? I said it is true. Whether we feel it or not, whether we sense it or not. I was hearing this lady give her testimony. She was 90 years old, young woman, 90 years old. Her husband had passed away. She'd been in the ministry since she was a little kid. And she said this. She said, it's become more and more and more and more and more apparent to me that all anxiety that I have is a symptom of the lack of trust that I have in Him. That's convicting, powerful, and sobering at the same time. It's like, wait a minute. Is that really true? She said, I haven't got it down yet, but I'm getting a lot better. I've recognized that when anxiety comes, I have to turn to the one that I can trust. When things don't seem to be going right, or when people are against me, and with, you know, just life happens, I've got to turn to the one that I can trust. Yes. Because He's trustworthy. Yes. He's never let me down. He's never forsaken me. He's never gone away from me. I can trust Him. Yes. I can trust Him. Amen? Yes. Last week we began to talk about praise. How many know He deserves our praise? Praise comes in many different forms, and it can be different ways. I mean, you can praise the Lord under your breath if you're in a place where it's not appropriate to do, maybe out loud, but I can't think of too many of those places, right? Praise the Lord. He's worthy of my praise, and I don't mind you hearing it in the supermarket. I don't mind you hearing it at the workplace. I don't mind you hearing that praise is going to continually be on my lips. Amen? Because praise is a weapon that we have against what the enemy is trying to bring us to. And hallelujah. Turn with me. This is a familiar story to many of you. But turn again to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Old Testament, 2 Chronicles. Before the Psalms, after 1 Kings. 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. I want to read through this, and this is so important to me, and I want it to be clear this morning. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. What this is saying, he was up against it. Have you ever been up against it? Are you up against it now? Come on. You feel like you're up against it now? Well, this story is for you then this morning. Amen? Then some of the people came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against us from beyond the sea and from Syria, and now they are in Hazion Tamar, which is in Gede. He said, we got this great report for you. You thought you were having a good day? All of these people are coming against you. And whatever's coming against you, put that in here. Right? And no matter how big it looks to you right now, put this in here. Put you in this story. And Jehoshaphat feared. In other words, fear came to him. This is real. This is happening in my life. I'm not denying that it's happening. And this has the potential to be very, very, very bad. And some of you might be saying that this morning. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I have no idea how this we're going to come through. I mean, the debt is bad. The health is bad. The family relationships are bad. What the judgments that are coming against me and what people are saying against me might be bad. But watch this. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Set himself to seek the Lord. When you don't know what to do, don't run away from God, but run to Him. But run to Him with practical steps. It's like, Lord, I'm coming after you the only and the ways that I know how. Watch this. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. You see, in order to come to God, and if you're really seeking Him, the first step that you have to do is say, this isn't about me. I'm going to humble me. The Bible says in James, if you humble yourself before the Lord, He'll lift you up. But fasting is one of the most, I think it's one of the greatest ways to humble yourself. You're telling your flesh you can't have that. You're not going to eat that. You're not going to, no. You're telling your flesh no. So listen, whatever you're going through, maybe you need to come to a place of fasting in your seeking. Now, I'm not saying that unless the Lord tells you to go without food for a long time, although it's actually a healthy thing to do. It resets everything. But watch this. It might be the Lord is saying, I want you to fast something. Whatever He puts in there, you can put anything in there that you want. If fear is all around you because of what you're seeing in the nation, I think a great thing to do would be to fast your phone. Take the news channels off of it. You know, fast it. Just get rid of it. Why? Because you're seeking Him. So here's Jehoshaphat, and he's got these enemies that have the potential of destroying him. And so he went to seek God, and he proclaimed a fast. He said, listen, all of us are going to be in the same boat, and we're going to seek God. Hallelujah. There's something about that that is just amazing. I don't want to get bogged down with that. But so Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Wouldn't it be great if instead of complaining about one another, and instead of blaming one another, instead of asking, well, that person must have sin in their life, or that pastor might have, you know, he must have sinned because his anointing isn't as strong, or that church did this, or that church did that. Maybe we should just get together and seek God together, right? Just say, Lord, we're seeking you together because we can't figure this out. Your kids down here are acting a little weird, and we need your help. Hallelujah. Then Jehoshaphat, verse 5, stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Watch this. I don't believe Jehoshaphat was trying to remind God of who he was. I think he was reminding himself of who God was. Come on. We've got to remind ourselves who God is. And he's not just the God of that to somebody else. He's the God of that to me. Is God your Father? Did you make Jesus the Lord of your life? Then he's my God. My God, he's my God, right? He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's everything that I need. Now, it's one thing, watch this, it's one thing to say, God, you're God. You can do anything you want to do. You can supply all of my needs. You can heal all my bodies. It's one thing to say that, but like the leper, you have to get to this point. God, I know that you're able, but the leper came to Jesus and said, are you willing? Jesus' answer should resound in our ears. Yes, I am. If you're seeking God and you're seeking for an answer according to his word, then his answer to you is, it's my will. I'm willing to do that for you. I'm willing to do that for you. You proclaim that you're this and you're that God and you're everything that I need, but are you that to me? And if he's the Lord of your life, if you're seeking him, the answer is yes. Yes, he's the God who will take care of you. Watch this. This is so good. This is so good. Verse 7, are you not the God? No, wait a minute. Excuse me. Are you not our God? Speaking about the God, are you not our God? This morning, when talking to God, are you talking to him or about him as somebody else's God, or are you talking to him like, aren't you our God? Lord, aren't you my, if you're my God, and if you're no respecter of persons, Lord, what you promised one is a promise to me. Hallelujah. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built a sanctuary in your name. See, his faith, he was in fear. Watch this. Remember, he said that he was in fear, but he went to seek the Lord. Now, all of a sudden, he's beginning to build himself up in faith. Aren't you? You're our God. You're the same God. And this is what you did in the past. And if you did it in the past, you'll do it for me now. Come on. Listen, there's fear because there is a big army that's against me and it looks like it could defeat me, but I'm going to remind myself of who you are. I'm going to proclaim to myself and to everybody else who you are, but I am going to stand in the fact that we are in covenant together. Hallelujah. Verse 7 again. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? Who is the descendants of Abraham? Come on, all of us who believe because of Jesus Christ, because of our belief in him and our identifying with him. Verse 8, and dwell in it and have built a sanctuary to your name, saying, if disaster comes upon a sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence and in your name in this temple and cry out to you in our afflictions, and you will hear and save. Come on. Come on. Is fear coming upon you? You need to seek Him. And when you seek Him, you need to come into His presence, because He told us that we could, and boldly proclaim who He is, and not only who He is, but that He is that to you. Come on. So it doesn't matter what it looks like today. It doesn't matter what it feels like tomorrow. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And He's still the God that saves. That means He delivers. That means He heals. That means He's the one who can do the impossible. Come on, come on. Verse 8, and they dwell in it, and they have built a sanctuary in it to your name forever. If disaster comes upon us, again, what disaster has come upon you, or what perceived disaster are you facing right now? What is it that you're perceiving? And then he lists them all, and you go, no, Lord, come on. Verse 10, it says, and now here we are, the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who you have not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. O God, our God, are you not the judge of them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. You know what he just said? He said, you know, the people that are coming against us, they're coming because we didn't do what you told us to do in the first place. If we'd have done what you told us to do, this wouldn't be a problem right now. Some of us might be in that position. I'm just saying. None of you, because you're all holy, but we may have be in a position that we're in because we haven't done the Word of God like we should be doing the Word of God. Right? We've been complaining instead of praising. We've been, you know, we've been envious. We've been bitter. We've been all of the things that we know we're not supposed to do. That might have been our problem. And yet, you know, even in that, because who He is, we can cry out to Him. Hallelujah. Verse 12, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, and we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Listen, we don't know what to do. Have you ever been in that position? Yes. I like that position from the standpoint, God, I can't do anything. I'm, you know, if you don't do something, we're dead. We're toast. Nothing. Come on. But my trust is going to be on you. No matter what happens, no matter what it looks like, no matter where it goes, my trust is going to be on you. Have you ever been in that position? Because I have. And when I was there, I said this very thing. The Lord, even if they take everything like they're saying that they could, I'll praise you. Yes. Glory. Even, Lord, if, come on, it looks really bad for me and everything is taken away from me, I'll still serve you. I'll still proclaim your name. Yes. Lord, even if they put me in prison, I'll have a prison ministry. Verse 13, now all Judah with their little ones and their wives and their children stood before the Lord. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jeziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, and the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And he said to them, now watch this. Under the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon the prophet to give the leading to the kings and to the priests. But under the New Testament and under the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit, speaks to your spirit.
Yes, amen.
You have to have an expectation that when you're seeking God and you're coming before Him and your faith is beginning to rise up, that if you can quiet yourself and listen to the voice of your spirit, He'll speak. He speaks in many different ways, and I'm not talking about hearing audible voices. I've had it happen in times where there's just a little word in my spirit said, turn to this verse. Okay? You turn to that verse, and it's exactly what you need. And it's something that you can stand on. I've had it times where I'm seeking God, and out of nowhere, He said, read this book. And I'll read that book. And in that book, there's something that I take out of it. Do you see what I'm saying? If there's something, now you need to go to that service. But Lord, I don't want to go to that service. But I'm seeking God. Go there anyway. And there's something in there that addresses my situation. Because watch this. When you're seeking God and He speaks, obedience is absolutely necessary. You say, well, I've been talking to God and I've been reading His Word and there's something in there that I'm not doing, but it keeps coming up to my mind over and over again. I would suggest that you do it. Even if you don't want to. Right? I need to get where I'm going today, but I may not. Hallelujah. And then He said, watch this. Listen, all you of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. The Holy Spirit will never come to you and say, well, you're toast. Well, you know, I was with you yesterday, but you've screwed up so bad, I'm done with you. Right? The Holy Spirit will never bring you to the place of rejection, abandonment. Right? Come on. He's not the one that would do that. He might bring you to the place of conviction. Why? Because the very thing that you're doing is killing you. Can I give you an example? Do you know bitterness is an awful thing to live with? It will destroy your health. It will destroy your relationships. And it will destroy your faith. Bitterness. But yet some people have done you dirty. Some people have acted mean to you. Some people have said things about you. Some things. Right. I'm going to use this because it just fits. My good friend Mary on a Wednesday night came up and she was talking about something I can't remember. But I just went, but is it as bad as this? What they did to you is as bad as this? Is it as bad as this? Sometimes when the Lord first started talking to me about forgiveness, it was like, Lord, how could I not forgive them when You've forgiven everything that I've done against You, right? How is it possible, Lord? It's not about, God, if I don't forgive them, You won't forgive me, but that's true, but it's not about that. Lord, when I think about all that I should be guilty of and You've forgiven me of it, how can I not? See, that's the first step to forgiveness and getting rid of bitterness. Hallelujah. Verse 16, tomorrow go down against them, and surely they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. How would you like to be known from the place of Ziz? Where are you from? I'm from Ziz. That's quite a place. And you will find them at the end of the brook where the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah of Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now watch this. How many have ever been in a position where you felt like you were alone and God, if you don't come through, something bad is going to happen? I've been there before, but He's always been there with me. Come on. I went through something years ago and seeking God, and you know, it was one of those where, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. This is awful, God. I don't know what. There's no answer, Father, in the natural. And this is really, really bad. And seeking God, he led me to a verse in Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are incensed against you shall be as nothing, a non-existent thing. You shall look for them and not find them. For I, the Lord your God, will uphold you. Come on.
Thank you, Daddy.
But then I went to this intercessory prayer meeting and I talked to the pastor about what was going on. And he said, listen, we need to pray for Bruce. And wouldn't you know it, somebody comes up to me, I got a word for you. Isaiah 41:10. I read the same verses. Nothing changed in my circumstances. Nothing. But just that, fear not, for I am with thee. Woo-hoo, come on. If God is with you, what else do you need? But then I like this part. It says, fear not, for I am with you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The right hand signifies strength and power. And come on. So if God is fighting for you, come on, come on. We ought to relax a little bit. Say, woo, God, come on. God's in my back. God's got my back. There's angels. Angels. In this situation I was talking about, it happened just like that. I mean, one day there was an attack coming at my family, and just like one day, all of those that were saying things, it was like crickets the next day. They weren't around. I mean, it was a 3 or 4 month process, but it was, God is so good. Verse 18, it says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. I like that. When you get the answer, you ought to worship. I didn't say when you get the results, but when you get the answer, when God begins to speak to you, you should begin to worship. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I just bow before you, Lord. I submit to you, Father. Anything that you want me to do, Father, I'll do. Father, I just thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Now watch this. Then the Levites and all the children of the Korahites and all of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. They arose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and all who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I would encourage you today, this morning, no matter what you're facing, to begin to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. When you're fighting against somebody else and they seem to be attacking you, stand up in the middle of it and say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You don't understand. I'm not one who gets excited or says things out loud. Well, that's to your shame. That's to your hurt. That's to your, you're staying in your situation a little bit longer. You need to stand up in the midst of that, and especially when anxiety is trying to take over, just take you over, and fear is trying to dominate you. You need to stand up in the midst of it and say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. The very word praise means I'm exalting who he is and I'm magnifying what he can do. He sees me and he can protect me. Come on. He sees me and he'll defend me. He sees me and he'll feed me. Come on. And the enemy that's against me, if I'll praise him, God will send out the things to rout them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I've got to read this definition to you. This is mercy. How many need mercy? Listen to this definition. This is again of the Webster's 1828 dictionary. Mercy, it's that benevolence, mildness, and tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. That disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment or inflict less than the law or justice will warrant. In this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy. That which comes nearest to it is grace. It implies benevolence and tenderness, mildness, pity, compassion, and clemency, but exercised only toward offenders. Mercy is a distinguishing attribute of the supreme being. So watch this. They're coming out. Jehoshaphat's coming out. This army's coming in. And what are they saying? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Watch this. What are they saying? They're saying this. We aren't perfect and we've messed up and we are in a position because we didn't obey God. But I want to declare today that his mercy is the very thing that gives me the right or the ability or that can give me the faith to stand up and say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. He's going to fight for me because his mercy endures forever. He's not fighting more for me because I've never messed up. He's fighting for me because he is love and he loves me and I'm in covenant with him. And it's his mercy, his loving kindness, his forbearance, his not imputing my unrighteousness to me. That's what's getting me in a place where I can say his mercy endures forever, forever. Watch this. His mercy wasn't just good for yesterday. His mercy wasn't just good for when you got saved. His mercy wasn't just good for somebody else. His mercy is for you this morning. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how you feel, no matter what's been on your mind, no matter what's been against you, no matter what you've done, his mercy endures forever. Forever. It'll be with you today. It was with you yesterday. It's going to be with you tomorrow, because His mercy endures forever. Forever, 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 forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to skip that one because I have time. But go to Psalm 136. I want to show you something. Psalm 136. And we used to actually sing this psalm in one of the songs that's referenced quite a bit that we used to do in worship. But look at verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Thank you, God, that you don't impute my sin. Thank you, God, that you don't give me the things that I deserve. Thank you, God, that your forbearance, your patience with me is everlasting. Thank you, God, that you love me. Thank you that you're kind to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for His mercy endures forever." And then it goes on to say, "For to Him who alone does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever." Come on. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who made the great lights, for His mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for His mercy endures forever. If He did all that, whatever you're going through is not a big deal to Him. He didn't wake up in your crisis and say, "I don't know what we're going to do." The Father didn't go to Jesus, "Oh, this is a tough one. I don't know how we're going to get Him through this. I don't know how we're going to get her through that. I give up." No, He's the same God. If He hung the stars in place, listen, you ever figured this out? If the earth was just a few degrees one way or the other, we wouldn't be here. Right? I mean, it's just amazing how this whole body works. It's, you know, and He put it all together. Hallelujah. This is what I want to get to, though. Verse 10, it says, "To Him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, His mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endures forever, with a strong hand and outstretched arm." Why is He going through all of these things? He's going through these things to remind them that the same God that brought you out of the mess yesterday, last week, 20 years ago. Many of you might have been like me before I got saved. I was in a situation where, you know, I was partying, doing drugs, drinking, doing all the stuff that the world does. But I knew inside of me that something was missing. I knew that there was something on the inside that was missing. And if I mean, I used God's name quite a bit, but it wasn't necessarily in praise, if you know what I mean. Right? And there were many things that I were doing that were contrary to God. But He sent a brother, and under the power of the Holy Spirit, spoke His word to me, and it brought conviction to my heart. Are you with me? And the Holy Spirit wooed me to Himself. And His mercy came to me, and I became born again. His mercy came to me. When I'm reminded of that, it changes my attitude. It changes my thinking. It changes everything about me. Here's the point. The point is that you need to reflect on what He's done for you and understand that it was all under the umbrella of His mercy. Whenever He's been there for you, whatever miracles or testimonies that you have, It's because His mercy was over. And you should be declaring that. Listen, I was supposed to be thrown out of my house, but His mercy was over me, and He brought a way that I could remain in there. Listen, I was supposed to be, you know, whatever your circumstances are, I wasn't supposed to make it through this operation, but His mercy was over me. I was, and what does that do? It reminds you that the same God who did it before can and will do it again. I said He can and He will do it again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Go back to Psalm 57. But I just don't like to praise the Lord out loud, because that's just not who I am. Well, stay in your mess. Stay in your mess. Why? Because what does it do? Why is it important to praise the Lord out loud with your mouth and to praise Him for what He's done for you? Why is that so important? Because you believe you more than anybody else. That's not always a good thing. But you believe you more than anybody else. And so when you speak out of your mouth what God has done or what His word is proclaimed, what you're doing is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So from your mouth is coming faith-filled words, which you're hearing, which goes into your heart, which brings up more faith-filled words, which you're hearing, that goes into your heart, and that brings up more faith-filled words that you're hearing, that goes into your heart. But watch this. When you're fearing and you're speaking, you're hearing and fear is going into your heart. When you're fearing and you're speaking, then you're hearing and that fear is going. The devil's a liar. Come on. Psalm 57. Verse 1, it says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful, for my soul trusts in You. In the shadow of Your wings I will make refuge until these calamities have passed by me." Sometimes all we need to do when we're in the midst of what we're going through is to reflect on His mercy and call out for it. I need Your mercy, God. I may even be in the situation because I did stupid things. And even if I have to suffer some consequences for my stupidity, God, in the midst of that, I'm asking You to be merciful to me. And I can testify to you that He will. I can testify to you that He'll bring you out. Because a broken heart and a contrite spirit, He will not deny. Ooh, broken heart means I'm at the end of myself. I see it clearly now. And a contrite spirit means it's all on me. It's my fault. I'm sorry, God. But I'm not sorry because I got caught. I'm sorry because I recognize what it did to your heart. Are you listening to me? But He says that He won't deny. Ooh, glory to God. So in the midst of that situation, you should just cry out, God, I need Your mercy. Mercy, 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 mercy me. Mercy, 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 mercy. Hallelujah. I will cry out to God Most High, to the God who performs all things for me. And He shall send from heaven and save me. And He reproaches the ones who would swallow me up. Is that still true today? Yeah. That is still true today. So what do you need to do? As praise as a weapon is, Lord, I just want to praise You because I know that Your mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. A few more scriptures and we'll think about closing. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. How many need His mercy? How many need Him to be forbearing to you? How many of you need Him to not impute the very justice that requires the actions that you've committed? How many, anybody besides me need that? I need it on a consistent basis. Because I figure that I'm not all that. But He is. And in Him, He makes me all that. That's such a powerful thing. Such a powerful thing. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Outside of that, outside of Christ Jesus, not so much. But I'm in Christ Jesus, so I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 58 of Psalm 119 says, I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I entreated you with my whole heart. I came to you, God, with my whole, I poured out my heart to you, and I'm asking for your mercy. But in that, watch that, you're going to be merciful to me according to what you've spoken in your word. That's so awesome. Look at verse 76. Let I pray your mercy, your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word to your servant. Do you know that God's kind?
Yes.
He's not the one with a baseball bat waiting for you to screw up so they could hit you upside the head. I kind of grew up with that in the church that I grew up with. That I'm not saying that that's exactly what they said, but that's what I perceived. Well, I'll just say it this way, and I'm probably giving too much information. But if you skip church to play with your friends up on the parking lot, then the nuns are going to get after you really hard and tell you how bad that you are and what, you know. And so you equate that God's got that big stick that if you mess up, He's coming after you. But that's not true. I said that's not true. 132, Psalm 119 and 132. Look upon me. Some of us need to say that this morning. Lord, you know my heart condition. You know the pain that I came in. You know the stress that I've been living in. You know whatever pain, you know what people have done to me, you know my relationship, you know what, Lord, look upon me. Come on. Lord, look right now, this morning, Lord, look upon me. Here I am. In your presence, here I am, Lord, look upon me. You know my thoughts, you know my behavior, you know everything I've said, you know everything I've done. You even know the things that I thought that I didn't say, but that were in my heart to say. You know all of that. Here I am, Lord. I'm right before you right now. Be merciful to me as your custom is toward those who love your name. It's His custom to be merciful to those who love Him. What does that mean? That's His natural inclination is to be merciful to you. So in one sense, you don't have to beg for your mercy, but you have to remind yourself that that's who He is, and that's who He is to you. So out of His mercy will come everything that you have need of to face whatever you're facing today and whatever the ramification of that is for tomorrow morning. When you go into work, you know, all of that. When you're facing, when you get the phone calls, whatever you're dealing with, His mercy is there for you. Amen? Praise ye the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Say that with me. Praise ye the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. One more time. Praise. praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we just thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I'm right here before you, Lord, and I'm saying, here I am. You know the thoughts that I had this morning. You know the thoughts I had last night. You know the thoughts. You know everything, God. And if I've ever needed your mercy, and I have, I still need it now. So, Lord, I'm crying out for mercy for me, but I'm also crying out for that supernatural mercy to touch each person that's within the sound of my voice, whether it's online or whether it's in here in person. In your mercy, Lord, you bring deliverance. In your mercy, Lord, you bring salvation. In your mercy, Lord, you bring healing. In your mercy, Lord, you bring provision, not based on what we deserve, but be based on your kindness and your forbearance and your patience. So, Lord, I'm crying out for that mercy over every heart that's here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Hallelujah. Praise you, the Lord, for his mercy endures forever and ever and ever. Father, for all those who've never met you, never given their lives to you, I just pray, Father, that they'd get on their hearts, get in on their knees before you and just say, Father, I need a Savior. Jesus, I'm away from you. I need you. I believe in my heart, and so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is Lord of my life. I need your mercy. Help me to quit doing the things that are causing me damage, and I will serve you and follow you all the days of my life. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I need your mercy. I need it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing it. For those joining online, thank you for joining us. God bless you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. If I could have the worship team come up. We're going to close as we normally do with a song of praise, of worship. Take this few minutes. Don't get in a hurry to leave. I mean, just a few minutes in his presence. And if there's something that you're struggling with, if there's something that's hard, if there's something that is keeping you up at night, if there's something that is overwhelming to you this morning, this word was for you. God's declaring to you that his mercy is over you. And in his mercy, as you wait on him, as you seek him, as you acknowledge him, as you put him first, he'll deliver. He'll set you free. He'll bring the answers. He'll defeat your enemies. Because he's the same God. Hallelujah. If anybody would like prayer to come up this morning, come on up. Glory to God. But if not, let's just worship him. Spend a moment with him right now, because he's here. I sense his presence so strong. He's here. He's speaking to you. Don't go out the same way that you came in. You don't have to. Let his mercy be over you. Let his mercy touch you this morning. In a powerful way, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship him together, because he's good and his mercy endures forever.